I want to start out real quick before we even get to a prayer with a further explanation of what Jeff was talking about with the responsive reading. Just a wonderful another little wink from God. This morning, as I was preparing the bulletin, because I always wait until this morning to prepare the bulletin, I had selected the responsive reading to move to the end of the service. And I wanted to put it at the end so that we could go out into the world with it on our minds. But I didn't because, you know, it's comfortable to do things in a certain order. And we get used to it and it brings us happiness. So I didn't. And now I get to. So it was just a great little thing. I'm so thankful for it. Yeah, it's just all the glory to him. So let's pray. God, we come before you, and I come before you, and I am here to give your message, not mine. So whatever it is, just give it to me. And whatever comes out of my mouth, just let it be received into the hearts of the people who need it in the way that you mean it, whatever it is. Amen. So, I had an interesting week this week. In previous sermons, I may have made note that of different methods of preparation. Sometimes I prepare a lot, sometimes I prepare very little, but I always prepare. And this week, one of the things I learned from the past couple sermons that I've done is that God will tell me what it is that he wants me to preach. Usually it's after I've already prepared the first sermon. And then he comes in and he's just like, oh, well, just toss that, maybe for later. I got something different for you. This week, every time I wrote a sermon, he wrote a new one immediately afterwards. And over, what he told me was, you don't need to prepare anything because I'm giving you the words. And that sounded great to me in theory. Because it was like, wow, I don't do anything. That's terrific. And then it became horrifically frightening because I had to get up here without any preparation whatsoever and just give it to him. And so I don't know what I'm going to say today, but I'm just letting him talk. I did grab a few verses just in case so that I could be prepared a little bit. But what he wants to use is up to him. I do want to talk a little bit about my week, though, and maybe it will be what is supposed to be said. Let's start with Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening, I was reading a book. It's a book by a man named Ted Decker, and he's one of my favorite Christian authors. He writes the truth in such a way that he doesn't pull punches. So it's very deep stuff, it's very compelling stuff, and sometimes it's very frightening stuff because he will display evil straight out on the page. He won't hide anything. And then he will show God's glory, and you get to see the glory because of the evil that he's shown. And I got to a part of this book where one of the characters, their eyes are opened, and they get to see and truly see. And if you look at the front of your bulletin, I wrote this morning, are you awake? Are you alive? Do you see? Do you see? Look around you at the majesty of the Lord. Look, there is time. And it woke me up. The first time I was woken up was when I was 30, and I may have talked about it before. You'll forgive me. I will talk about it forever until the day I die. God opened my eyes and showed me the world as he sees it, and it was amazing, and it was bright, and it was beautiful, and it was beyond anything I could possibly imagine, and that lasted for months, and I was awake, and I was alive, and I can't tell you what joy I felt, and then slowly but surely, I fell back asleep. And then another day came, and I don't remember exactly when, but I woke back up, and I realized, wait, I've been sleepwalking again, and I've been just going through motions, and time has just seemed to have gotten away from me. And then that lasted a little less time, and then I went back to sleep. And so Wednesday night, I got to wake up again, and it was glorious, and I was like, I remember all of this stuff, and everything is simple again and joyous, and I could focus on God. And this time it lasted 3 days, And that was horrifically depressing. Last night, I fell into such a depression. And thankfully, it was a very short one, but I was so sad that I wasn't on top of the mountain anymore. And I'm going to read a verse about the top of the mountain. This is from Mark, and it talks about the transfiguration on the mountain. It's from chapter 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. I'll take a brief pause here to talk about the white of Jesus' clothing. The first time that I was woken up, I got to experience that white. And since then, for 2.5 years or however long it's been, I've tried to figure out a way to describe that white light. And here in the Bible, which I didn't even realize it was in here, they dedicate a sentence to it. I spent 2 years trying to figure out what they gave a sentence to, because the truth is it doesn't really matter what it looks like. You will know it when you see it. And so they say, in just compelling simplicity, it was dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them, his clothes. And it's true, because it's beyond anything that we could do. And that was another thing that I discovered this week. This glorious week. So many things just kept throwing them at me. Jeff often, in his Bible study prayers, will say, God, do this thing for us and do it in such a way that the person you're doing it for knows that it's you. And on some level, I've always gotten sort of what he was saying, but it wasn't until this week that I truly grasped it, because this experience of mine, when I first woke up at age 30, I realized this week was not of me at all. It is only God that did it, because I've tried to figure out what I did to lead to that point so that I could share it with people, because I desperately wanted to share this with them. And I finally realized I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing to have that happen. I wasn't in a place where I was talking to God. I was driving down the street. There was nothing I could have done differently. So that was just a great little moment that I realized. And continuing on in Mark, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And they were coming down to the mountain. Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. As I was pseudo-preparing what I might say, I looked up this verse because I wanted to talk a little bit about that top of the mountain kind of thing. So I went to Google and I put in top of the mountain, and top of the mountain verses, and this was the very first thing that I came across. It was the thing that you read every day, devotional, that's the one, thank you. It's a devotional that was the very first thing that appeared reflecting this verse, and I wanted to read that because it was exactly 100% what I needed. It says, Jesus takes his inner circle to a mountain with him, and they experience a God thing, something unlike anything they had ever seen. Most of us have had a similar experience, maybe not as intense, but mountaintop experience nonetheless. It may have been while worshiping at a youth camp, a prayer meeting, or maybe even a conference you attended. In my case, it was driving down the road. God moved there in a way that you had never experienced. What did you do with it when it was over? Some attempt to relive the same experience everywhere they go. This describes me to a T. Life doesn't seem right if one of those experiences isn't right around the corner. They begin to look for an experience instead of living their life for Jesus. Peter wanted to do just this. He wanted to make a memorial to what happened on the mountain so they could come to it and relive the event. But Jesus didn't allow him to do this and brought them back down the mountain, telling them not to mention this until he was risen from the dead. What a buzzkill. You see this awesome thing, you want to keep reliving it over and over again, and Jesus says, "Oh yeah, by the way, don't mention this to anyone until I've risen again." The disciples didn't understand this, but Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus gave them the glowing mountaintop to aid them through the dark valley when he would be taken away and murdered. He graciously gives us these experiences so we are able to navigate the many valleys in our lives, so that we can stay on the mountain. So cherish these mountaintop experiences and draw from them in the valleys. Be sure never to create an idol by living for them instead of Jesus. Do you hold on to your mountaintop experiences more tightly than Jesus? And I can tell you for sure that I do. And I wrestled with it and I said, well, it's not really the mountaintop experience I'm holding on to. It's what it represents in God. But oh my goodness, I just keep wanting desperately to go back to that space and that place and just that joy. And I'm also grateful that he brings me back down the mountain, because I wouldn't come down otherwise. And I want to read from John 17. Here Jesus prays. Well, I'll start with explaining where this comes from. I wanted to look up the verse that refers to being in the world but not of the world. Most people probably recognize that. But it was there in a way that I didn't really understand. Apparently, that sort of phrase that was in my head was really much more of a man-made construction rather than a verse itself. So here's one of the instances that it refers to, and that is from John 17:13. These are the words of Jesus, and he's actually praying to God in this moment. "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world." So that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you come and take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, so that they too may be sanctified. This week I really didn't want to be in the world. I got to experience being out of it, and just in the presence of God, and I sat there, and I was just so happy, and I didn't want to go back. And one of those times was yesterday morning, and it was right before 9:30, and I was laying in bed, and Liang was, I think, taking a shower or off doing something, and I was just talking to God, and I was just living in that moment, and I was enjoying it, and it was just glorious. And then my phone rang, and it was my mother, to check when I was coming down to help set up. And I said, "Oh God, why do I need these interruptions? Can't I just stay in your presence?" And then later in the day, I got up and I came and helped. Later in the day, I went back to my dark bedroom and I laid on the bed and I talked to God some more. And I just thanked him and I was in his presence. And somewhere, far away, rooms away, I hear my phone ring, and it was my mother. And I heard her talking to Liang, who answered my phone, about where I was. Because I went down to the church to help her later in the day, and she wasn't there yet, so I came back up, and I went to talk to God instead. And I heard them talking, and then I heard her hang up. And I waited for her footsteps to come up the stairs to tell me that my mother had called looking for me again. But she didn't come up. But she didn't come up, and it was interesting, because then I had to get up, and I went downstairs. And Liang was surprised I was there. She said, "Oh, I thought you went already. Your mom's down there unloading the car." And I told her, "You were already down there." And once again, I got called to go back down the mountain and into the world. And we're going to continue to get called back down the mountain and into the world. So, as this devotional said, enjoy your time on the mountain when you're there. And when you're not there, it's all right. You know, you'll be out in the world, and that's okay. I want to share one more verse. And that was another time where God's just showing me exactly what I needed to see. Looking up top of the mountain again, I came to Exodus 19, and Moses goes to the top of the mountain to talk to God. And this is from verse 20 and 21. "So the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, 'Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish.'" It's like a warning directly to me. I've been forcing my way to the top of the mountain. I've been saying, "God, I just want to be up there with you. I don't want to be down here." And then I've been trying to engineer ways to get up there instead of just being where he wants me to be. I am awake right now, and I hope that I can stay awake for as long as he'll let me, because it's really great. Time moves so slowly when you're awake. You have time to look around you. Last night while we were unloading my mother's car, I asked her what color the sky was, because she was so rushing in and out of the building that I knew she hadn't looked. And the sky was black, but then I went and looked at it, and it wasn't. It was dark red, and it was purple, and it was nighttime, but it wasn't black. And I looked, and I saw. We have time to see. You just have to look around. You don't have to force it, but just look. And when you're awake, just be awake, because it's great. Amen.